Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this absolutely glorious sunshiny day. Before you get too comfortable in your pew, how about getting up and passing the peace, speaking to your neighbors next to you and across the aisle? Now, if you will settle down just a little bit so we can prepare our hearts for worship. I'd like for you to look in your bulletins for just a minute because I have a couple of corrections I want to make. You can borrow the pencil out of the visitor member registration pad that's going up and down the pew to make notes if you don't happen to have a pen. And I guess that's another reminder. Please sign the registration pad and pass it. If you will notice on the back of your bulletin, the community Lenten services will continue this week. The date is incorrect. Wednesday is right, but it should be March the 16th, and it will be at the Episcopal Church. We were so fortunate to have a good group here on Wednesday, and we encourage our members to continue to participate in the Lenten worship services. You will also notice the Single and Single Again book club that will be meeting. Please make a note of that. And the United Methodist Men's Dinner and the program that will be held on Tuesday, the 15th, that is also in your bulletin. You might also want to notice in the calendar that the meeting has been left off. So you might want to use that pencil as it goes through and make a note that on Tuesday at 5:30 there will be the Men's Club meeting. Main Streeters have been asked to please get to Wesley Commons about 11 o'clock because the program will start at 11:15. Now, I might need to repeat that. The program will start at 11:15. And the Main Streeters are going to get to hear the kitchen band perform. So you don't want to be late for that program. Another reminder is that the Prayer Warrior dedication will be next Sunday. And we're having a dinner for both the Prayer Warrior families and the Covenant families immediately after the worship service. And we encourage you to please contact the church and let them know. Most folks didn't get their letters until Saturday, so they need to make an effort to call their families and find out if they're going to be able to attend. If you happen to know today, please put it in the offering plate. If not, please call the office Monday, Tuesday at the very latest about whether your families are going to be able to come to the dedication or not. The meal is free. It is going to be catered. And they do need to have a head count or nose count, whatever you want to use to count to make sure they have the right number of servings for everybody. And finally, I would like to call to your attention, outside the door here in the side entrance is the Red Cross. And the Red Cross will be doing an informational meeting. In fact, they're going to do two for us. If you have any questions or you are interested, they do very fine work. If you would pick up a volunteer pamphlet, there are two gentlemen sitting outside who will be more than happy to talk with you about opportunities for service and help. We cannot help but think of our fellow Christians and citizens in Japan and the horrors that they have experienced. And simply say a prayer that, but for the grace of God, there go us. And we know that, of course, all of the discussion that went on with our West Coast and how much in jeopardy those folks are. And, of course, it will be the first armor of defense. It's going to be the Methodist Church and the Red Cross, because our outreach is so good. So please stop by, get a pamphlet, and get some information. Now, let us to continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Will all who are able please stand and join in the call to worship? To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. Trust in God, who will not put you to shame. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice in God's justice.
may be seated. Christ our Lord was tempted in the wilderness and knows all our trouble and weakness. We therefore have courage to confess our failings and our sins, knowing that the God of Jesus Christ will hear and forgive us. Praying together, 40 days alone, a wilderness of thoughts, temptings and inviting thoughts, which could so easily have distracted you from your task, your mission, your vision, yet emerge stronger and more attuned to all that had to be done, despite a time constraint that to our eyes would have seemed hopeless. We too live in a stressful time. Demands are made of our time that leave so little for the important things of life. We are easily distracted in the wilderness of our lives by every call to go this way or that, and turn stones to bread, leap from mountains, do all that would keep us from the truth. We listen to the voices of this world and ignore the ones who endure all this and so much more, and emerge triumphant that we might have to suffer so. Forgive us, Father, when we get distracted from our task. Forgive us those times when we try to be all things to all people and fail to be anything to anyone. Amen. Let's take a moment and reflect upon this prayer about how it has touched us, and to make our own confessions to God, and then to hear the words of assurance. Let us have a moment of silence. Jesus dismissed the tempter and walked from the wilderness toward the glory of the cross. Let us rejoice this day in Jesus' glorious victory through his death and resurrection. In Jesus' name we are forgiven. Let us say together the modern affirmation: where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the time of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Good morning, Main Street United Methodist Church. As always, it is so wonderful to be in this place together to worship God. Moses, when God let him know what his plan for his life would be, was a rather unlikely candidate because he didn't have particularly good business skills or leadership skills and was not really a very good public speaker. And his reaction would be pretty much the same as most of us in saying, and I'm just paraphrasing here, "Oh God, please get somebody else." But Moses listened to what God asked him to do, and he made a commitment. And we know the rest of the story. And God asked all of his children to make commitments. Commitments of various types. Commitments of our prayers, our presence, our gifts. And so often, commitment requires personal sacrifice, but is almost always accompanied with abundant blessings. Open your hearts and your minds and listen to what God is asking you to make a commitment about and receive those same abundant blessings.
Consecration Sunday is scheduled for April the 3rd, just 3 short weeks away. As I continue to speak, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and pass out reservation cards for the celebration lunch for everyone. This Consecration Sunday will be a very important Sunday in the life of Main Street United Methodist Church and can be our crucial time in our personal lives as we discuss how we grow spiritually in the relationship with God. On April the 3rd, we'll have a combined service at 10:30 with no breakfast and no Sunday school. We'll follow the service with a celebration lunch in the fellowship hall. This will be a catered meal. It's not potluck and it's not covered dish, so it will require all of us to make reservations to know how many people we need to prepare for. Please take a minute and complete these reservation cards that are being passed out now. And the ushers will come back shortly and pick these same cards up. If you don't know your schedule yet, pass your card back. You'll have another opportunity to commit to the reservation and the celebration lunch. Our stewardship effort this year and in subsequent years is based on the biblical philosophy of the need of the giver to give for our own spiritual development rather than on the need of the church. Instead of us acting like members of a social club who should pay dues, the followers of Jesus Christ give unselfishly as an act of discipleship. New Consecration Sunday encourages people toward proportionate and systematic giving in response to the simple question, what percentage of my income is God calling me to give? I give many thanks for the forgiveness and blessings that are provided to me each day. As we emerge from the depths of this great recession and other life's challenges, I'm reminded that we have endured and God has sustained us. As a father of 2 beautiful daughters, both to be married in coming months, I'm reminded of how truly blessed I am. And through the words, "To much is given, much is expected." Thank you.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from the second chapter of Genesis, verses 15 through 17, and the third chapter, verses 1 through 7. If you wish to follow along, you will find this on page 2 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this familiar passage, God provides Adam and Eve with all that they need, but they wish to define for themselves what is good and what is evil. Hear now a reading of God's word. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may eat freely of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired and to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, and can be found on page 189 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, Paul deals with the universal human condition of sin and death and its relationship to the gift of grace. Listen again for God's word to us. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass through condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
call you now to a time of pastoral concerns, and I know that, as has already been mentioned, we want to remember those of Japan and horrible tragedy that has befallen upon them, and to remember those within our church family as well who have needs, who are sick. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Dear God, we pause on this Sunday, a Sunday of calm and tranquility in our lives and in our town and in our community, reminded that in all places of the world things are not normal, that there are places where there is war, places of famine, places of civil unrest, places of natural disaster. Dear God, we are so thankful that even in all of these places, that we know even now that the Church of Jesus Christ is proclaiming the good news, that Christians are reaching out in love and compassion and care, of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. We pray again for those within our church family who have needs, for those who are suffering in their body, thanking you, dear God, for courage and peace, for the strength of endurance. We pray, dear God, for them, for the day that they will be able to walk through the doors of this church and proclaim victory through faith, that they'll be able to tell the story of Jesus and His love. And for those who might not be able to walk through these doors, dear God, we thank you that the story of love and of Jesus and His love will be true for them as well. So thank you, dear God, for the message of Christ that continues to go forward in good times and bad, in the day and in the night, in freedom and in bondage, that the message of Christ is still the same. We pray again for those of our land as they respond, whether they be from the civil community or civilian community or from the military or whatever. May they be instruments of your peace. Maybe those who lift up the hands of the weak, protectors of children. Help us, O God, as a church, to never forget the message that you have called us to go into the world and to proclaim your gospel. Help us, O God, in whatever we say or do, that Jesus' name will be uplifted and the story of your love will be told. Be with those who have leadership over us within our local community and within our nation, praying as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily prayer, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come? Holy God, we worship You with the gift of these gifts. We give You thanks for all that You have done and are doing among us. Bless giver and gift those who have not and those who chose not to give this day. To all we give glory to God, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. And we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. How is everybody? Are you awake this morning? Can anybody tell me what season in the church we are in now? Because we had Ash Wednesday on Wednesday. Cecilia? Lent. Notice that the cloth on the altar is purple, and that is representation of royalty because Jesus is our King. And Lent is a time that we remember Jesus' life, and we look at our life and see where we can better follow Him. Now, we're going to be doing something different during children's time during Lent. And every week, the cross, we have moved a cross in here, and it's going to be there over to the side. And after today, we will actually have children's time over on the side so that we can be in front of the cross. And you see that there's a table in front of the cross, and it doesn't have anything on it. And I have another small table here because I wanted us to be around the table, but we couldn't fit over there. But every Sunday in Lent, whoever's doing children's time is going to add a symbol to that table. And today, and each symbol has something to do with the scripture of the day. Now, one of the scriptures that has already been read was on temptation. Who is it about? Did anybody listen, and can anybody tell me? Adam and Eve. Very good, Caroline. It was when the devil, the serpent, tempted Eve, and she gave in. Do you know what a temptation is? It's when someone tries to get you to do something that's really not right. And the devil is very good at that. He is a master of temptation. Well, even Jesus was tempted. The devil thought that he could get the best of Jesus, and he tempted him. Early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus was on top of a mountain, and the devil appeared to him, and he tempted him. He tried to get Jesus to prove who he was. But we all know Jesus didn't need to prove who he was, because his actions were going to show the people who he was. But one of the things that the devil wanted Jesus to do was, excuse me, with all that coughing, my nose is running. he said, here are stones, and I want you to turn them into bread. And do you think Jesus did that? No. Was Jesus capable of doing that? Could Jesus have done it? He could have. So today, while these stones don't look like the stones that Jesus would have had, they would have been more like field stones, but we're going to put two stones on the table today, and they will stay there all during Lent, and that's going to remind us of the story of Jesus being tempted. And for us to remember each time during Lent that we are not to fall into that temptation that that the devil puts in our way, but we're to remember that Jesus turned that temptation down, and that's what we need to do. Okay? So, can you go put that rock very carefully on that? And Lucas, can you take this one and put it on the table? And I'll move that table at the end of the service over there at the cross. So next week when we come up,
will meet at the end of the chancel rail so that we can be near the cross and near the table. And we'll see what symbol we add next week and see what Bible story we get to tell. Can we pray together? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Help us to remember not to fall into temptation, but to live like Jesus did. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Mark. Begin reading with the first verse of the fourth chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly the angels came and waited on him. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The story was told about a young couple that were so much in love. It was just obvious that a wedding day was in their future. And things were progressing quite nicely until he received word from his company that it was required of him to go and spend a year in Spain. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had a privilege to be in Spain. I was there for one day, and we went to a restaurant, and when I came out, I said to those that were with me that day, I said, I declare, I believe every person that came in here could have been a model. They were all so attractive. Maybe it's just a restaurant. A lot like the beautiful people in Greenwood, if you know what I mean. But I was so overwhelmed with all of their beauty and how dignified they looked as they came into this restaurant. So I know that there are some very attractive people in Spain. And so this couple decided that there were some beautiful people there, but they would continue their love by writing to each other every day. Well, for the first couple of weeks, that worked out pretty good. And then, you know, at the end of the day, one of them would I didn't write to him or her, and they would get down and scribble out a note. And finally, a note was missed, and it was obvious that this commitment of writing every day was not going to hold up. So the young lady decided that she would send to her lover a harmonica. And with these instructions, play on this every day, and as you hear the melodies as they float from this harmonica, you can think of me, and it will comfort your heart. And she just knew that if he did this for a year, he would be a wonderful harmonica player when he came back. So sure enough, the day came, and he was landing at the airport, and they embraced, and they held hands, and they kissed, and then they went out to the parking lot and got in the car, and he reached over for another kiss, and she held out her hand. She said, "Now let me hear that harmonica." You get the drift? Let me hear the harmonica, because if he couldn't play it, he hadn't been thinking of her, and he hadn't been practicing. We understand that in life, there are temptations. She understood that there were temptations in their relationship. And here we are in the season of Lent. When we affirm that temptations and self-denial are a part of our journey of faith, it's a time when we readily acknowledge that there are those things that come into our life sometimes that get in our spiritual journey's way. It's rather amazing that right after Jesus was affirmed so readily by God and so powerfully through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the dove coming from heaven and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my son," that Jesus was tempted. And sometimes we wonder, did Jesus know that he was God's son? Or was this a time of dramatic revelation? And this certainly is not a question that we're going to be able to answer this morning, because it goes on in theological discussions. But there's one thing for certain, that Jesus received that powerful affirmation that day that he indeed was God's son. And not only was he God's son, but God was very proud of him, very pleased. I remember those times as a young boy when my dad would say to me, "Boy, I'm proud of you, son." Or my mom would say, "I have such a good son." And many times I would be struggling in my heart and saying, "Oh, Mom, you just don't know. Dad, I'm not that good. And yet I would think about those times, maybe when I saw something around the house that needed to be done and no one had assigned that task to me. And those words, "You are good son. You are a wonderful child," would echo through my mind. And I would respond by doing something that I wasn't even asked to do. In this passage of Scripture, we have Jesus in a very bold confrontation with evil. A lot has been said of these 40 days. Pictures have been painted. Books have been written. Songs have been written. Poems. All about this encounter with wickedness. All this confrontation with Satan. As we think about this passage of Scripture and the different ways that Jesus was tempted. And Satan comes to him to get him to affirm that he indeed was God's Son, as the children's sermon has alluded to this morning, by the turning of stones into bread. And realize, as I've already alluded to, that we do have temptations, and I'm almost certain that every one of us here this morning are tempted. But I'm also equally assured that each one of us do not have the same temptations. For what is a temptation to one is not a temptation to the other. What is a struggle for one is not a struggle for the other. And yet we realize that as we journey along in our Christian life, that there are those obstacles that come into our way that are there, one, for either us to overcome, or they're there and they can trip us up, can change the direction that we were going. And we hear this from the very first man and woman in the garden. We hear it again as we experience Moses with the children of Israel. We hear it again with the great leader David. And most of you know this story, but there was a prophet who came to David and he said something like this: "There was a man who had one sheep, David. And there was another person who had all these sheep. And the man with all the sheep went and stole the man's sheep who had one and killed it and ate it." David was so enraged, he said, "Bring me that man. He deserves to die." And the prophet looks at him and says, "David, you're the man. You took Uriah the Hittite's wife, Bathsheba, and stole her for yourself and had him killed in battle. You're the man, David." David had to confront the reality that his sins had found him out. And it wasn't just a one-time thing, but we can look throughout David's life and we can see the scars of the choices that he made on that day. I mentioned to you the words of my father, and I hear the words again in this passage as God speaks to his son and he says to him, "You are my son in whom I'm well pleased. And as I think about the temptations that have come into my own life, and I think about the temptations that have come into Jesus' life, and about how he says that he was in all ways tempted like you and like me. Is that true? Is that true that Jesus Christ understands the temptations that you and I endure? You know the story of David. He repented. He was a great king. But we can follow throughout Scripture again and see time and again where great leaders and judges have fallen to temptation. And if we think that temptations are not going to come our way, then we are fooling ourselves. If we think that we are going to get through this life without being dramatically tempted, we are probably not going to be prepared for temptations when they come. The church year prepares us in so many ways for our journey of faith. Lent is calling for us to be aware. To be aware of the devices of wickedness. And how many times can we look in our own world, in our own state government, and see where temptations have diminished the rising star of leadership, where temptations have so handicapped our own government that maybe the very leaders that we need for today are vanquished among us because they have found themselves to be unfit in one way or the other. We have seen even presidents bow down to the misuse of presidential powers, and it has caused the demise of their own leadership. We have seen Congress fragmented because of temptations. And we surrender that to this church and think of ourselves and our leaderships of ministers and their directions. And Jesus made that statement that resonates: man shall not live by bread alone. You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. I have a hunger this morning. I have a hunger that I think about when I walk these halls. I have a hunger when I walk in here during the weekdays. Oh God, let Main Street United Methodist Church be a place that's filled with your presence. Oh God, let people who walk in and out of these doors know this is a place where God abounds. Oh God, may we be a welcoming, loving congregation church. Oh God, fill us with your presence. Let all of us have a prayer for our church during Lent. Let all of us have a prayer for ourselves. Oh God, help me to be an overcomer. Oh God, don't let me be a failure and cause a stumbling stone for some of these lesser ones in the kingdom of God. Oh God, help me to be strong. Oh God, help me. Help me, dear God. Story was told about a man whose cabin was at the bottom of the mountain and his house needed restoring. It had begun to leak and it had grown weak by the winds that had blown upon it. And so he was climbing up into the mountain. And somebody said, "Old timer, why are you climbing up into the mountain?" He said, "There are trees aplenty at the bottom of the mountain that you can use to restore your cabin." He said, "I want to get to the top of the mountain because that's where the strong timbers grow. Those are the ones that the snow has blown on. Those are the ones that the wind has beat against. Those are the ones that have endured, and they are stronger and they'll last. And that's what I want in my cabin at the bottom of the mountain." So as the trials of life and the storms of this world blow against you, may God help you to be strong, a strong timber in the building of His house, in His church, right now, right here, in this town, in this place, today. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, number 377, "It Is Well With My Soul." The benediction is a responsive benediction printed in your bulletin. Do not live by bread alone, but by the will of God.